Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, hour number two on a Patriots Friday. The biggest Patriots Friday in 5 years, Fitzy?
At least in four, and it would have been, if you discount that playoff run as not much more than just a charade, then it's been six.
Yes, six. Biggest Patriots Friday in 6 years. Jeremy Springer's with us, calling fans to impact the game, do what they do.
You're not counting 2021, huh?
No. I've never been so sure a team was going to lose than I was that game.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. We just glossed over 2021, and I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, paper champions.
I hosted the Saturday show, Ted, leading up to kickoff that night. Mego and Andy spent 3 hours just telling me, like, Fitzy, just read a book, go out to dinner with your wife. Like, don't bother. Like, it's going to be a bloodbath. And the funny thing was, it was worse than they said it would be.
I remember, I think I did the Thursday or Friday night show with our good friend Mutt. And he was asking me all these questions about my game. And he's like, you have nothing good to say about the Patriots. I go, no, I don't. I really have no thought that the area where they're going to somehow pull this off. And they didn't. This game, very good football game. Very interesting football game. Oh, yeah. I feel differently about this game. And we won't tip anything. But late in the show, we'll make our picks, and I may have seen a graphic in preparation. Wasn't a great one, but, you know, a graphic in preparation for the socials. And there's some interesting picks on there, I'll say. I saw some interesting picks, maybe from behind the glass. But, Stiz, it is 3 o'clock. Ted's here. We got three hosts. Sounds like it's time for the three-point stance.
Green 19!
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
John Tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance, and it's a positive one. It's a, hey, this is going to be fun one, which I enjoy. Are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Spread some joy. Go ahead.
So we had a little company event last night, so I got home a little late. Halftime of the Miami Ole Miss game, but I watched the second half of that fun football game. Not sure it was the cleanest, most well-played game I've ever seen. The right guard of Miami might want to learn what a snap count is, but they win that football game, goes down to the wire, Carson Beck's dancing, the whole thing, and then it hit me. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If you're a football fan, you have 5 consecutive days of playoff football, and it's college playoff football, which the first taste of was awesome. Obviously, tonight you have Oregon, Indiana, our guy Kurt Cignetti, and then you got a snow game on Saturday night, potentially, in Chicago. You got the Patriots on Sunday night football, and then you got a Monday night football game. I think we just found the best weekend of the year if you're a football fan, the sports calendar. There's more important weekends, title game, Super Bowl, but Thursday through Monday? Are you kidding me?
That's interesting.
Way to stretch for time at the end there, too.
Because it's a bomb cyclone of relevant football, Andy. That's
it's
exactly
awesome
what it is.
But man, the divisional round in football in the NFL has always been considered the best weekend of football.
Yes, it has.
So is this going to trump it now?
I feel like it might, and maybe
because
just
of the college football slate.
And maybe because the first game I watched of this Thursday through Monday weekend went down to the wire was a really good football game, entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, I might finish, you know, if the Bills blow out the Jags and there's a couple, you know, the Rams go to Carolina, blow them out, the weekend might lose a little luster as the games play out, but there's a lot of fun games potentially.
And you just, I think this is kind of fascinating to talk about here, Fitzy. You have compelling games Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, And then the probably what some people would say the most compelling game at 4:30 on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the last game of the weekend at 8 o'clock, after you've just been stuffing yourself full of football, you got the Patriots playing, of course, the Chargers.
Yep.
I'm involved in the team that's playing Sunday night, but for most football fans, I think they're going to feel stuffed by the time the Patriot-Charger game gets around. Don't you think? Don't you think you're going to be like, there's been so much football for the last 3 days, and man, we've just been watching it all day on Sunday that by the time you get to the game on Sunday night, I just think people are going to be...
Yeah, but sometimes you think you're stuffed, and then whatever is available is so good, you're like, I can find... Like Dan Ball last night was looking at the buffet, and then they brought out another tray of chicken sliders, and okay. he moseyed on over and got more chicken sliders.
What is like a dessert where it's like a little cleansing? Like you just kind of...
Raspberry sorbet. Like,
so it's going to be the raspberry sorbet of your football weekend.
Perfect.
So it's not going to be like, you know, bread pudding, because that's... It's pretty, you know, it's
right,
pretty.
Yeah, it's not going to be bananas Foster. It's not going to be so, you know, giant and full and flaming tableside. If we're going to keep up with the food analogies and metaphors here, you know, the thing is about Thursday night and Friday night and even the games on Saturday, you can just snack on those if you need to. Like, I watched half of the game just like you did last night, Andy. Oh. Turns out we watched the better half. Tonight I'll probably end up watching about a half to two-thirds of Indiana-Oregon. Mm-hmm. I am expecting national championship-level football. What a great way to Friday night.
Yeah.
Saturday, the first game, probably going to be a waxing. I'll probably be prepping the house and doing things, and I'll only be able to watch half of Packers-Bears. Sunday is a work day for us as well, although I am super fired up for Jags-Bills. More on that in a moment. By the time we get to Sunday night, Ted, to me, I'm like, the appetite is there. Like, I have fired it up. I've had the cocktail. I've had the salad. Right. I've had the apps. Like, I'm ready to absolutely feast. But, Andy, there is a chance. While I do love the five straight days of football, divisional round weekend, which I've always called the Thanksgiving of football weekends, could be the king because you'll have four probably super good NFL games, and then Monday night is the national championship. So it's only three. Three is less than five, but those three may be better.
And if you're a man and, like, uses this as an excuse to, I don't know, not do things and get away from your wife, go in the man cave, drink beer, you got 5 days of doing that. And I also think there's a chance, like you said, Fitzy, some of these games, because of the schedule, Ted, you, excuse me, oh, I got to do this. It's during the day. I want to watch the game, but I actually got to go drop the dog off at the vet or something.
Yeah.
Usually by the night on Sunday, you can just give it all to the TV. So mm-hmm. full focus on Patriots Chargers mm-hmm. by Sunday.
Are you
night.
Saying most of the men that watch football have to negotiate their viewing time with
yes.
their significant
the married ones?
The other?
Yeah. yeah, the married okay. ones yeah, or yeah, the yeah. ones that are in long-term yeah. relationships or live-in situations.
So, continuing with the food metaphor, it's like a tapas bar of football all weekend.
Oh, I like that.
Football tapas.
And I like that. Also, you're underestimating some of us that just gorge ourselves and eat till we vomit
right,
and
right.
can take in football
till we vomit.
You're
like the offensive lineman I played. There's a buffet of food there. They got to eat all of it because
yeah.
it's there.
Right.
It's no, guys, you can just pick and choose.
No, that's
no,
rude
no, no.
to the buffet person.
Yeah.
The Patriots have been posting some videos of the nutrition staff and all the game day meals and stuff like that.
You saw that as well, Dan?
I did see that.
Holy mackerel.
Don't watch it on an empty stomach is all I would add into that. But I would also like to clarify, I only took one trip to the buffet. I did, however, have a couple of beers. So it was a quick week for the dry January.
Dry January, my ass.
How'd that work? I had two trips to the buffet last night. Shout out to the 88 Club and those incredibly good little... Peking ravioli that they had. Ooh, man, those are good.
Yes, they were.
They were indeed. All right, Fitzy, I'm sending it right back to you. Are you ready for your three-point stance?
Yes, indeed. Me and my dreams of those crab rangoon from last night are ready to party, Dan.
Well, here's 60 seconds for all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Okay, like Andy said, this weekend is just chock full of football. This is one of those weekends we, as the super fans, live for. And I would say outside of Patriots Chargers Sunday night at 8 on NBC, the game most of this region, I imagine, will be most interested in is going to be Sunday at 1 p.m. That is when the Buffalo Bills, the sixth seed in the conference, travel to Jacksonville, America's dollar store with a humidor, to take on the resurgent Jacksonville Jaguars led by Coach of the Year candidate Liam Cohen. I think we're all expecting a tremendous game. At first, it was looking like a weather game. Now it seems as though the conditions will allow for the best offense and the best defense of both two teams to get after it. However, I read a stat earlier today that should be of alarm for anyone who either A, is rooting for Jacksonville, all nine of their fans, as well as anyone that wants the Bills to get bumped so the Patriots don't have Bills versus Josh Allen Part 3. How about this? The Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-23 in games with a total of 49 or higher since 2007. The over-under Sunday, 51.5.
Ooh, and that's...
Leon Cohen coaching those teams, so that's the
He's a stud local guy. Yeah. Also, that flies in the face of Schefter telling us the Bills haven't won a road playoff game since 1992, so we got a little something's got to give situation.
There we go. So Sunday night is my strong versus your strong. Sunday at 1 o'clock in the second most interesting game, it's the something's got to give game. I like that, Andy.
And something's got to give even further in that game because you have the number one rushing offense going up against the number one rushing defense in the Jags.
And I would also say quarterback legacies to some degree. If you're special, Trevor Lawrence, now you got the coach. You've been married up with this schemer. You bring him up, Liam Cohen. He's mastermind. Start winning. Of course, the guy on the other side needs to start winning because people are calling him a loser, and he has no Super Bowl rings. So
a lot on the line for both the quarterbacks.
That is a very and they've done it before. We go back to, what was that, 5 years ago, Josh Allen down there in a game that set football back, I think, 30 years. I famously remember
that game was awful.
It was. And one of the I don't know if it was Aikman, Romo. There was a famous QB color commentator who goes, you know, and I think the wind might be affecting the passing game, why we're seeing the inaccuracy. And they go to a thing and it says like 5 to 7 mile an hour winds. And he's like, okay.
They show the flags. Yes, they're not moving.
They're not moving at all. He was trying to do a solid for like the QB fraternity, why we were seeing crappy QB play. And it was just crappy QB play. But that's a good game. I also wanted to... The 5 days, just to real quick go back to my 3-point stance, because people are like, first 4 days of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, but I got five. I got you beat by a day. 5 full days. You also have people that say, like Fitzy did, the divisional round weekend is...
The NCAA...
It's tight. Tightened it up.
The men's tournament opening up is not a football weekend. Like, you can call that a sports weekend, but this is... Your point, Andy, was this is the best football weekend, potentially, now that the NCAA has realigned the college football playoffs.
Or maybe just best sports weekend. Way better than the Masters.
Oh, settle down, dude. Settle down.
If we have good shots of that, if we have good camera angles of that, we got a bit for social. Because I said it, and I turned to Ted, and there was like a second to calculate, and then he turned and stared at me with those death eyes.
I'm just glad it took me a second. It usually takes me 2 or 3 seconds.
Ted, I would like to volunteer forward. If you throw Andy in a lake like some aggressive golfing friends do their golf bags after a bad shot.
Yep.
Hello, friends. I'd like to offer, there are some weekends in October, guys, where you'll have, I want a pimento cheese sandwich now. There are some weekends in October where you have, Andy, like big college football games. You have Major League Baseball playoffs and NFL games that, you know, like you'll catch a Kenbrell Tompkins, David Ortiz type of Sunday every now and again. And those are just magical.
Mm. Mm.
Do we think the schedule is fair for the college football, the guys that are playing these games? Because it's, I mean, they play, one plays on a Thursday, the other team plays on a Friday. Some guys are playing on shorter weeks than other guys.
Yeah, no, it's not great. So and
it's not fair for the kids.
Actually, one of the guys in this game, Dan Lanning, the coach of Oregon, has been very passionately critiquing this schedule along the way, even though his team's in it and maybe they'll win the national title.
Yeah.
He thinks, start the season earlier. Keep playing every week, just like you do during the year. Don't like have some teams get a bye and
some
weeks
get
off. Whatever.
2 weeks off.
And then finish it by New Year's Day so that all the coaches can then turn their attention to the transfer portal and just have a normal calendar. He also doesn't
you can
like
do that right, like starting next year. You can do that.
Oh, not that hard.
You can't change a lot of the stuff that's the problem with the NIL money, but you can change the calendar.
And he even wants the higher seed to play at their stadium until the championship game. Only the championship game would be neutral site. He even said this, give him credit, when I believe he was at Texas Tech. He was playing at, he's like, I mean, no, it was neutral site. And he goes, this game should be at Texas Tech. They're a higher seed than us. We should be going to Texas Tech today. There should be value in being higher.
No doubt.
So, even the guys that
are in the NFL was talking about maybe doing it that way, having some of these playoff games at neutral sites, weren't they? They were talking about
that. There has been talk of that, which I think is a terrible
bad idea.
If you move the AFC title game out of Gillette Stadium and now we're just going to Atlanta,
don't do that.
I forget what the press, what was the point of that, though? What was going on that people were thinking about that?
There was it
COVID?
Something was going on, and they were proving they were prepped, and they had alternate sites ready, and blah, blah. But to me, if your team is good, Buffalo played a game.
I'm sorry, Andy. Didn't Buffalo play a game a couple years ago at Ford Field because of snow?
Yes. Ford Field is one. Like, the domes are usually the alternate options because they're pretty, you know, secure, so to speak.
I believe the date you were looking for, January 7th, 2018, Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars, your final score, 10-3 Jags.
Yikes. What were the QB numbers? Do you have those by
Yes, I do. So Blake Bortles, the boat, 12 of 23, 87 yards and a touchdown.
That's 87?
That's an average of 3.8 yards per completion. Up against Tyrod Taylor, 17 of 37, 134 yards and a pick, as well as Nathan Peterman, 1 of 3 for 14 yards and a pick. Your leading rushers in that one, LeSean McCoy, and actually Blake Bortles led you with 88 rushing yards. Ooh. Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny, was your other leading back in that one.
Yeah, let's hope this one's a little bit closer to the shootout and the over that we're hoping.
Yeah, instead of the 3 yards in a cloud of dust, leather helmet kind of game that we saw there.
Real quick, before we move on, just if I say Blake Bortles, what do you, the first thing you think of?
Hot wife.
Blake Bortles, I think the Barstool video where the girl asked him, hey, what's the first thing you do in the morning? He just looks at her and goes, and then uses the swear word for
Well, Fitzy, you clearly aren't in the know. That's the first thing you think of. Andy had it right.
One of the all-time laughs.
It's not his wife, I don't believe. It was his ex-girlfriend. The girlfriend he had when he entered the league. That's what I'm talking about.
That might be smart for him. Maybe he made a good decision, had some fun, and then moved on before he started making a boatload of money. Because I actually saw him making the rounds on social media today.
What's he doing these days?
I don't know, but somebody was like, you know how much money you made? And he was like, I don't know, $50 million or whatever.
That's an old part of my take interview of his. Yeah, there's some
$50
old,
million.
Yeah,
there's did he say the words 50 million? Did he say 50 million?
47, I think, was the number.
He's such a himbo. And he makes Jared Goff look like Oppenheimer.
And he ended it with suck it, nerds. Whereas, to be fair to him, the nerds make billions, but the good ones. Well, Elon Musk or trillions.
Yeah, he had to earn that 47 mil. But yeah, it was something like, did I really? Oh, yeah, that's cool.
You know, he earned my trust is at the Super Bowl down in Houston, the 28-3 game. Yep. And I was at a party at during Thursday night leading up to the Super Bowl. And he was there with a bevy of talented young ladies.
It's always the quarterbacks.
It was just like, really, bro? Can you spare one over there?
Toss a three-time Super Bowl champion, a linebacker, a little scrappage?
Something. Man. It was great. It was great. One of the best. I think it was the Barstool party. They were just starting out, and the line to get in when I left was, and some of the faces you saw on the line was tremendous. Just trying to get in, couldn't get in because it was
nothing
such
like a line of dudes trying to get into a party.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. We'll leave that one there and more Super Bowl and Super Bowl party stories to come ahead of February, I would guess. But in the meantime, Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I am. But before we start, real quick, Fitzy, you've declared that Jeremy Springer or the Patriots are new age football team. Did I hear that right?
This definitely feels like a new version of the New England Patriots. Yes, sir.
Interesting. All right. So that kind of leads into what I want to talk about. So you can start the clock now.
All right. Hit it. 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, Stiz, play that audio. This is from Jeremy Springer earlier today that you guys did with him.
You know, even myself, you know, when there's a bad play, I put a lot of it on myself and just have that growth mindset. Again, like I always just said right now, it's a growth mindset.
You guys know what a growth mindset is?
Nope.
Don't know? Mm-mm. Okay. Well, let me tell you exactly what it is. The definition of a growth mindset is a growth mindset is the belief that abilities, intelligence, and skills can be developed over time through effort, effective strategies, learning, and feedback. Challenges are opportunities to learn, not threats to ability. Effort is valuable and necessary for improvement. Mistakes and failure are part of the learning process. Feedback and criticism are useful, not personal attacks. Other success is inspiring rather than discouraging. I don't know if you guys think that fits this coaching staff, but I feel like it does. Mm. And particularly that coach right there. And so all of these decisions, you know, the way in which they used to do things there in Foxborough, the coaching tactics, the games that were played, the mind games, no more. It is a new growth mindset that has taken over Foxborough. And I, for one, love it. And those guys over there are very fortunate they have a coaching staff that understands that.
Okay, so where does this come from? because, I mean, I'm assuming it trickles down from Mike Vrabel. He's the guy setting the tone, doing everything. It's his show, right? But he's an old school football player, right? He played with you. He came
he
up in the
in
90s.
An older time, 2000, yeah.
Yeah. How did, like, are these books? Are these learning? Are these coaches he worked under? How did we get to growth mindset and supporting guys who make mistakes?
It's out there. I mean, if you're someone that, especially on your, it's on your socials, you, if you are anybody that's interested in growth mindset type of, I don't know, reels or things that you'd find on Instagram or whatever platform you're on, they show up all the time, and it just gets hammered into your head, and it's all really good stuff if that's where you're willing to go there and you're willing to think differently and you're willing to break old habits. It's it can be very, very, very useful, I think, for today's athlete, for
Agreed.
Today's, you know, just young person that you're trying to raise in today's world. I think it's an excellent way to, I mean, we've gone from, I mean, remember the was it the 76ers? They had a whole campaign about trust the process.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah,
didn't work out.
It was a lie.
It didn't work out, but it's changing. People, they're trying to change how we view failure.
Right.
It's not, you don't fail, you just learn. It's just part of the process, right? So, you know, last thing we want to do from our jobs and fans want to hear is that. But that is the kind, that's taking over, I think, athletics, is coaches coming in with a more of a growth mindset. And the hard part is trying to convince the parents and all the fans of the sports that same thing. But that's what the challenge is.
Well, and the way you teach them is the way he taught us. Succeed with it. When you tell me that we're going to need Ramondre Stevenson and we're going to support him and he's going to make big plays for us down the road, and then he does it, you trust it the next time when he tells. Or Andy Borogalis, when he misses two PATs and you give him a game ball for the kick he made, you go, oh, yeah, he was right. It worked. And I learned Vrabel was in that world.
Yep.
Remember when he first started Fitzy? I know you'll remember this. They put out the video where he called the lineman up to the stage, and he said, walk with me here. And he put his arm around him, and they walked across the stage. And then he tried to push him, and he's like, see, it's easier when we work together and I guide you than when I try to push you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And after I watched that video put out by the Patriots, it started coming through the same video by, you know, speakers on a stage at, like, these events. And different
things like it.
Yes. And so he's definitely,
it's out there.
I bet you Stretch is in that world.
You're looking for it. Oh, yeah.
I bet you Stretch is in that world. So it's worked.
Real quick question, if I may. Ted, was during Mike's player days, he was a bit of a different cat or a different animal. But at the same time, I know you always thought, like, he had the ability to be a leader of men and a coach because of his intelligence and his aggression. But did you ever see this sort of, like Andy's talking about, this, like, cohesive mindset, these contemporary vibes? Did you ever see the capacity for those in the way back when?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I did. They were there, and so Mike was doing it probably more than any other player in a sense. Like, he connected with guys, you know, and it didn't mean you hung out with them necessarily a lot outside of the football world. We're all busy, but when you're there, you're present. He's very present. He looks you in the eye. He has some fun at your expense. You joke. You talk about things that matter, not just about the job. And so you felt connected to Mike because he took the time to get to know you in a different way that most guys try to do, or that coaches at that league at that time really had no time for that. But Mike had the time, and then I just knew that he was going to be able to be a great coach because of his interpersonal skills. It's really about interpersonal skills and your willingness to engage in those interpersonal skills that I think makes him different than today's coach.
617-779-7937. We see you lining up to talk Patriots, to react to the 3-point stances, to make your predictions for Sunday, Patriots, Chargers. We see you. We're going to take your phone calls. Also up next, Mike Giardi is going to break it down. What are the strengths, weaknesses for each team in this matchup? What's going to happen? 617-779-7937. And talk to Mike Giardi and your calls next here on
Tonight's Meal. Tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
WEEI, back here, WEEI Afternoon. Bruins Friday, 3:30, Patriots Friday. Big game. That means we need to go to the guest line to talk to our buddy Mike Giardi, who has the best intro for a phone hit in the radio business.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, the football talk, how we feeling?
We still don't really like my son all that much for leaving this gift before he went off to college, this head cold that I'm dealing with. But, you know, we'll reconsider. He can apply for reinstatement, you know, in a couple weeks.
And you're the one who brought it into the Patriots locker room. That's why they had guys. Is that how that worked?
That is not accurate whatsoever. In fact, I stayed away on Monday when I thought I was at my most contagious, because I am a team player, even though that team doesn't pay me.
It's true. Like, all of us, we have kids in college. It's just a potpourri of, you know, just germs and disease.
Well, yeah, because they say it's like daycare centers, which obviously bring a lot home. But college is just kids. A daycare center where they're making out and drinking and vomiting on each other. Oh, yeah. So it's even worse. There's more swapping of spit. Anyway, let's move on to football. Mike Giardi, big game.
Romantic discussion.
We got a big, fun game. Sunday night, Patriots, Chargers is fun. I think Harbaugh, Vrabel's fun. I think Herbert and May, fun. What is, like, if I were to ask you, like, the poster version of what Mike Giardi likes about this game or thinks the biggest aspect of this game is, what would that be?
Well, I mean, I think we got two young quarterbacks who are, you know, hovering at the top of the league in terms of their ability and the things that they've done this year. Herbert has been really impressive when you look at all that's gone wrong around him from a health perspective. You know, they're built a certain way, and to have both tackles, you know, one missed the entire year and the other one missed, you know, a good portion of it and not going to be back for the postseason. Like, that's pretty massive that he's been able to kind of elevate that group around him. And obviously we've seen Drake just go, you know, supernova. So I love that aspect of it, because I think this is, we're looking kind of at the future a little bit here that's happening in the present. And then I love the little chess matches. You're talking about Harbaugh and Vrabel, and it's McDaniels versus Jesse Minter, the DC. It's, you know, the long veteran coordinator Greg Roman against Zach Kaur, and I guess you would say Vrabel too, you know, with the defensive influence. And like, how does that get divvied up, and who wins those matchups? Because there's a lot of little things that can be done in this game, and I'm, you know, there's a few things that I've circled that I'm really looking forward to watching.
All right, so Mike, we've been playing a little game this week, going back and forth on who, one team's strength against the other team's weakness, et cetera, what has you most concerned. So let's start there. From a Chargers perspective, what is it that they do either offensively or defensively that has you most concerned Sunday night?
Well, so Jesse Minter is an up-and-comer. He's going to interview for some head coaching jobs. You know, I don't know if he's going to get one in this cycle, but he has done nothing but excel since leaving the Raven tree. He went to University of Michigan with Jim Harbaugh and then joined Harbaugh here in L.A., and he's got a defense that is, I think, 31st in terms of dollars spent on the defense, but it's a top-10 unit, and it's, I've heard some people describe it as a do-what-you-do defense. I can't think of anything more ridiculous than that. I think Josh McDaniels confirmed that to us yesterday when he said, like, you rarely, if ever, see the same look pre-snap. And obviously, there's only so many things you can get to post-snap. You know, you're not inventing coverages, but it's about the disguise. And we know that at least in the second matchup against the Bills in the second half, Drake struggled with some of their disguises. And they didn't have the ball a ton, so that didn't help. You can't. It's hard to solve it when you're not seeing a ton of it, because they were out there for three and outs over and over again. But like, that's something that they're going to lean into. So then how do the Patriots combat that? And I'll tell you, the Chargers love the four-man front, two linebackers, and then the five defensive backs. And Derwin James is that hybrid, right? He can play linebacker. He rushes the passer. I think he's second most in quarterback hits on their team. He blitzes. He does all those things, but they love him because he can play the run. But do the Patriots say, hey, we've been playing this jumbo, we've been bringing Sam Mumford in, did it 25% of the time against Miami. Do we start off with that and make you get out of that? Or say, are you really going to try to play us with a lighter box? And like, that's one of those things where I'm just like, I'm sort of tantalized by how it's going to go, because you want to dictate to them what they're doing, and they want to say, no, you can't get us out of this because this is what we do best.
Yeah, that is interesting, Mike. The 4-2-5 that you're talking about, that's basically a nickel package, and so that's considered a package that you can run on. So that'll be fascinating to watch. But I just wanted to ask you, I'm putting a lot of emphasis into the external factors that are going to maybe be at play in this game, and really it comes down to the cold weather, and I think it's a big advantage for the Patriots. What do you think about that take? Is it the stupid just to think a warm weather team coming to the East Coast to play in the cold is overblown, or do you think there's some credence to that?
I don't think it's stupid. I think some of the numbers would back you up on that. Yeah, I mean, they're not a dome team because it's a roof, but it's not enclosed entirely. But obviously they play in significantly better weather half the year out in L.A., and that doesn't even account for who else they play, you know, in terms of like non-conference stuff. So I think there is an element to that you have to watch. The one thing I would say is, and Herbert hasn't had a ton of experience in sub-40-degree weather, he does have the big hands. You know, he's like a size 10 hand. So, like, yeah.
That makes a difference.
I know he struggled sometimes holding on to the ball, but I think we can look at it now. It's, you know, he's playing with a broken left hand. So he's not really putting two hands on the ball consistently, or he can't really use that left hand to sort of protect it, because if you protect it, that's going to hurt again. So that'll be a kind of an interesting thing for me. And I think the Patriots have obviously, they're trying to embrace this, right? They're like, hey, it's cold. It's going to, like, we're not cold. We're not bothered by this. We embrace this. We're going to lean into it. And that'll be, yeah, I think there's certainly a little element to that of, like, can you withstand that? And there might be a little rain before the game. So then that's another sort of thing you sprinkle into the conversation.
I heard Matt Khalil has big hands too, but we'll leave that right there. Move back to the quarterbacks.
Come on now.
Which quarterback? So you have a quarterback who's played a couple playoff games. He's lost them, because these two guys are part of a three-man group, right? Allen, Drake May, and Justin Herbert seem to all be kind of compared together. I think it was Milton Williams earlier today on our airwaves, compared the three of those guys sort of in the same grouping. Which guy in this game, the guy making his third start but hasn't won and has turned the ball over more this year, or the guy making his first start, is more likely to make that game-losing mistake?
I think there's more. This is crazy because there's a lot on Drake's shoulders. I think there's more on Herbert's shoulders. And I'll give you another one of these things where I think the Patriots are going to do, in my opinion, what they did to Buffalo the first time. If you remember that first game in Buffalo, they came out with five defensive linemen, three linebackers. They had just three defensive backs on the field in the opening series for, I think, two plays. And it was like, you guys want to push us around? No, we're going to push you around. And they forced Joe Brady to get off of that pretty quickly. We know how Harbaugh wants to operate. We know what Greg Roman's, you know, his charges. We have to run the ball. We want to slow the game down. We want to limit possessions for Drake May. And I think the Patriots are going to say, we are going to do everything in our power to stop you from running. And believe it or not, put the game on Justin Herbert's shoulders. And I think what's surrounding him in terms of his wide receivers versus what you have covering is an advantage to you. So I think if you're asking me, like, I think there's going to be more on Herbert because I don't think they're going to be able to run it as effectively. And I think that's where the mistake comes from.
All right. We've all just been speaking so glowingly, so lovingly, so affectionately of Drake May this week. You would think that, you know, he's making his way from Foxborough straight to the Hall of Fame and he's cured every disease in the world. I think he'll have a good game, maybe not a world beater game on Sunday night, but it's going to take more than just Drake May, I believe, to beat the Chargers on Sunday night and this defense of Jesse Minter's. So, Mike, if you could pick one Patriot on offense that's going to be a difference maker or who needs to step up alongside Drake Sunday night, who would that be?
Give me Ramondre. I think the way he's run the football the last month is as good as we've ever seen him. I think he is making the first guy miss with regularity, which is not something that Trevion does consistently. I think he's seeing it great right now. And then it's the finish. And Henderson's running physically too, don't get me wrong. And obviously has breakaway speed that Ramondre doesn't. But you saw Ramondre get loose a couple times against Miami. Like, he came in a lighter weight this year, and I think you're sort of seeing those quick feet now and a little bit more speed. I love the way he's playing right now. So I know there's that fear in the back of your mind, you know, because of what happened earlier in the year or what happened last year with him holding on to the football. But he's running confidently, and I want the ball in his hands.
I like that. I like it a lot there, Mike. My last question for me is just, we've had an interesting kind of debate over the last few days this week talking about if the Patriots lose, how do you look at the season considering, you know, no one thought they were going to win 14 games, and to get bounced in the wild card could change those, some perspective on the season. What say you in that regard?
I would call it a little bit of a disappointment. I've heard people say that the season's a failure. I don't view that at all. I think they've sort of changed the perception again. I think now it's become, because of the success in the regular season and because of the players raving about Vrabel and the staff, because of what Drake's been able to do, you know, I don't think you're in the same spot you were last year or 2 years ago where Brandon Ayuk, DK Metcalf, and those were like, yeah, no, not, I don't have any interest in going there. Now I think it's an attractive place. So it'd be nice to stack a win or two at the very least in the playoffs to sort of like, hey, no, it's that wasn't fool's goal, what you saw during the regular season. But I still think they've changed the narrative around them. And I think it's just it's a world different from where we were a year ago, right? Where, you know, like that was horrible football. You didn't like, I wanted to stick a fork in my eye rather than watch them play. And I love football. So like they were all in that mode. I think there were players that wanted to stick a fork in their eye rather than play football, and it showed. So I it would be a slight disappointment because I think there's an opportunity here. You've gotten this far and you're playing really well and there's a lot of confidence. Like, why not you? Why not now? And you never know, as Dan Campbell said a couple of years ago when they lost in the NFC Championship game, this might be your best opportunity. You don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. None of those things. So while you're here and you're playing this way, take advantage of it.
Two-part question from me, Mike. It's really important that I turn on my microphone to start said two-part question. Who's going to win the MVP award? I don't care who's supposed to win it. I don't need your opinion on that. I want your opinion on who is going to win it.
I think Stafford is going to win it, and I think it truly is the old guard is going to hold off the new guard in terms of touchdown passes and those sorts of things versus EPA and success rate. I think that the voters are starting to turn over, and it started to become more of an important thing, but I just have this sneaky suspicion we're not totally there yet. And I'm not going to, like, I've heard some of the arguments. I'm not going to denigrate Stafford. I mean, freaking, what is he, 47 touchdown passes, 46 touchdown passes, something outrageous. Like, and I know there's a bunch of them from the 1 yard line. Like, he's been awesome this year. Drake's been better in my opinion. And I think the nerd numbers back that up. And obviously we have the pleasure of having watched him for 17 games this year and figure things out on the fly. And like, that's so underrated, but I just kind of think that Stafford's going to get the old man, 37 years old,
yep.
Hall of Fame career. Just give him the vote. May he'll have another chance next year and after that.
Hate it.
You know, I just realized, I think some of the voters have come up against Matt Stafford, or either played with him or played against him, right? There's Orlovsky, I think, has a vote. There's
yeah, guys that, boy, it was his backup. Yeah, it was his backup.
If, dude, all these guys that, a lot of guys that I think have votes are probably friends with Matt Stafford.
Too close to it. Mike.
Well, I don't want to say that I'm a big deal, but I talked to two voters who reached out to me. There's 50 of them. Two of them. One who was like May versus Stafford. The other one actually reached out to me about the coach of the year thing and asking me about Vrabel. And I'm confident that I flipped one of them to May on the MVP vote. And I think the other one I got there too. So I'm just saying, when you speak of me,
nicely. Yeah, I like that.
I didn't know you were a lobbyist and you were changing things at the highest level. Like, if he wins the MVP, it's because Mike Giardi won it for
some
him.
Some respect on Giardi's name.
Yeah, Andy, he's an influencer.
Damn right. Before we let you go, what's going to happen Sunday night? Give me a pick.
I think it's going to be close, but I think the Patriots survive and play again next weekend.
I love it. All right, and I hope you are right, and I hope we talk to you next Friday as we move on in the postseason. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Mike.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, who, as Dan Ball pointed out in his phonetic spelling,
votes.
You don't need vowels for the last name. G-R-D is how you can spell his last name, and everybody can read it. Mike Giardi with some interesting takes there, optimistic on the Patriots. We'll break down that next here on WEEIF.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And then I love the little chess matches. You're talking about Harbaugh and Vrabel, and it's McDaniels versus Jesse Minter, the DC. It's, you know, the long veteran coordinator Greg Roman against Zach Kaur, and I guess you would say Vrabel too, you know, with the defensive influence. And like, how does that get divvied up, and who wins those matchups? Because there's a lot of little things that can be done in this game, and I'm, you know, there's a few things that I've circled that I'm really looking forward to watching.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed it, download the Odyssey app to your phone and then follow WEEI Afternoons and go back and listen, or you can listen to the WEEI Afternoons podcast. But Mike Giardi, optimistic about what we're going to see on Sunday, basically in a game that if it does come back to the simple matchup of Herbert versus May, he thinks Herbert's got more on his shoulders. Herbert's cast around him might let him down a little bit, and that could lead to mistakes, and that could lead to victory for your New England Patriots. So, also, Mike Giardi is now a lobbyist, and if Drake May wins the MVP, it's because Mike Giardi thinks he flipped, quote-unquote, two of the 50 voters. So,
wow.
What's that, 4% of the voters Mike Giardi has influenced?
Well, it's scary that he's had to flip guys that have called him. You know, there's a lot of guys that aren't calling him. That aren't going to call anybody to represent Drake May, or know more about Drake May than they would, because they don't watch every single game. And that's, it just feels like Stafford's going to win. And I never care about this award ever. But this year I do, because it's our guy.
Absolutely.
And because it's such a close race. I think it's a kind of a fun, fascinating topic to discuss and debate.
And Fitzy, he's now the second guy, because Curran also brought this up, that we might be in this weird line in the sand between the old school hardos narratives voting
that
way.
That's what I was thinking too, yeah.
And then like the Mina Kimeses and the Bill Barnwell's modern statistics and different EPAs and all of those things.
It's Solak versus Shaughnessy, if you will.
I'm going to be pissed if Drake May loses it to the old school, and then next year we're talking about some similar debate, and next year is the first year where the quants, the nerds, get their way and their candidate wins. I'm going
to
be pissed.
Just to go a step further, I mean, you look at the style of play for both guys. One's the old school, traditional pocket passer.
Yeah.
One is the new age, you know, runs in as the athlete.
Old school, new school in a lot of ways. The voting, the statistics, the style of play, the whole damn thing. But I still think Drake May should win it. So if Giardi gets his way, he has swayed enough to hopefully get it done. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's the much replicated, never duplicated buildup. Ted Johnson's official game preview. Patriots hosting the Chargers, May versus Herbert. All the key factors. What are the biggest issues in this game? Ted Johnson will tell you next here on WEEI.